even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to Sofa Cinema Club. I'm Colton Smith and as always I'm joined by...
Oh shit!
Jack P. Shepherd.
Oh, fucking bollocks.
Come on,
Ben.
It's easy. It's a tap-in. Kevin... What's his surname? Come on.
I can't fucking remember.
The whole world is screaming at you now.
Tell me.
McAllister.
McAllister, I knew that. I'm Ben McAllister.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together to educate each other on films. Now, it's all about the films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week we set a film for each other to watch, and then we come into the studio and we talk about what we loved, hated, and rated about the film. The beauty of our film club is that anybody can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the film at home and then join us every Thursday to find out what we thought. As it's December, we've gone full guns Christmas special. And this week's film is Jack's choice. It is Home Alone. But before we get into talking all things Home Alone, as always, how's your week been?
I got stuck in snow.
In snow?
Where? It hasn't been snowing?
No, my brother's wedding. You know we had the stag do?
Yeah.
Well, week after we had wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And it snowed.
Alaska?
No. It snowed in Leeds, and it was bad. And you know my car doesn't go anywhere in snow.
Good on fuel, as we worked out as well.
As we worked out. Doesn't go anywhere. I got stuck, and it was literally a light dusting. It was English snow. You know that snow that isn't snow, that's just a bit slush? It was that, but my car wouldn't move. And I saw that it was coming down. I was in Leeds, and I had to get back to Manchester, and I thought, this is... I'm snowed in material. So I says, we're going to have to go now. So the kids are like, what? We don't have to go for another hour or something. I went, right, this is coming down, this snow. If we don't move now, we're staying here the night.
Yeah! I bet they were like that, weren't they? Yeah!
Home Alone.
We're off. Cue my sister just coming in and saying, hi. I'm like, right, I'm moving now. I'm going. I have to move my car because I won't get up the hill. So I'm going to set off driving.
Maybe at the bottom of the drive.
Yeah, and you're going to come up behind me with the kids and the bags. So she does. So they're packing up, and I drove off.
With them?
No, I have to leave. I have to go. Ben, it's coming down. I have to move. So I'm driving, and I'm thinking, I have to go somewhere where there's no snow on the road, because my car will just spin. It'll just go and you'll have a crash.
So where did you go?
Well, where is there where I can park my car where it's road but no snow can get to it?
Ooh, is this one of those things? It's like a tricky underground car park.
Petrol station.
I was going to say petrol station.
Good, innit?
Yeah.
So I had to get to this petrol station and then wait for my sister to get there, which my sister took about 40 minutes to get there because she got stuck in all the snow traffic. And she went, do you realise you've come the worst way? And I went, I came the only fucking way I could, which was straight forward. I had to stay on a road.
Don't you know what I'm dealing with here?
Honestly.
I'm dealing with a car that can't drive. I can't drive the car in anything like precipitation.
Honestly. It's like I had square tyres.
They would have been good for your square tyres.
Ben, anything?
First Monopoly game of the Christmas season. Now, I hate Monopoly, but I love the arguments.
Oh, yes.
So as soon as you start playing Monopoly, you literally are buying, properly buying things, aren't you? Like, you own it. So if you buy Whitechapel, you buy Park Lane or whatever, you own it.
Yeah.
And suddenly you get all shitty when someone goes, oh, do you need to mortgage that? So we start off, and I said, we've got an hour.
An hour for Monopoly? It's days.
You have to buy as much shit as you can, get round, make as much money as you can, and get out. So you get one go round, buy everything. So I've got fuck all. I've got all different colours of the rainbow. I can't fucking see the colours anyway, I'm colourblind. My wife, bing, she's got pink. She's all pink. Now they do a trade. My wife and my daughter do a trade. My fucking son is only looking at one thing, you know. He's got Mayfair and Park Lane. That's all he's looking at. He doesn't give a shit about anything else. He wants a wad of money and he wants Park Lane and Mayfair. So my wife is building up an absolute hotel plaza on one side of the
board. Yeah, I take this approach.
You get on early. Yeah. You get in early.
And
pink or yellow.
And buy cheap.
Buy cheap.
Yeah.
Pink, yellow or orange. That's where you want to be. I like green.
Because it's the only one you can
see.
It's
the only one I get.
I'm not sure they're the... Are they genuine Monopoly colours?
Yeah, but it's the way I see them.
See, I buy brown, which is dirt cheap.
No one buys fucking brown.
Exactly.
Do you know how much you get when you land on it? You get two.
Two? 2 quid.
Two. Have you got change?
If ever I land on Old Kent Road, I always bung them a fiver. give them a bit more.
I don't need it. I don't need the money. Have five. Have ten. I don't need the money. So I fucking love it. So we play that bollocks where you put all your fines in the middle. If you land on free parking, you get that.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. And then if you land on go, you get 400, not just 200.
Why?
Because you've only got an hour to fucking play.
Oh, that's bollocks.
But then, so you can't go skint, basically.
You can't go skint. So anyway, so I've got fuck all. I've got a rainbow. I'm not winning, but fucking my son has got fucking Mayfair and he's looking at Park Lane. I shake the dice and every time I piss everyone off because I blow on the dice and I go, come on, here we go, lucky roll. Everyone fuck, but I do it on everyone. Every fucking roll. And I rolled it and he was counting in his head and he went,
oh no.
You've got Park Lane.
And I did the 1, 2, 3 Park Lane and buying it. So then, my wife's fucking built, she's built fucking an enormous fucking amount.
Skyscrapers
on one side of the board. My daughter's got red. I've got fuck all. But I've got Park Lane. He goes to me, trade. And I go,
trade.
No.
No.
And he said, yeah, but I'll give you all my money and all my properties just for that. And I said, but you won't have fuck all. And I went, let me think about it. He said, what, you've got to think about it now. And I said, no, give me a go round and then I'll think about it. Goes round. I go, no, straight off. It's fucking, we're off, aren't we? We're off. Of course, I've thrown the grenade in. He's off. He's walked. And then he comes back. He comes back. Oh, well, it's going to be no good now because I won't get anything. And then, as we're going round, we fucking walk into fucking Trump Plaza. All of us in a row. And it's 4:50 a go. And he lands twice.
Did he get the double one?
He got the double one. He goes twice. Well, my fucking head's gone. Oh, my fucking head has fucking gone. He's skint with no properties. And I'm fucking terrible in these situations because I don't give a shit if I win or lose. It just makes me laugh when people lose their fucking... So that was our first Monopoly. It all went to shit. People walked off, came back. But fuck me, Monopoly, absolutely, that was my fucking... That was the first Monopoly of the Christmas season.
My sister's nickname used to be the Flipper because she'd just flip the board halfway through.
Do you know what I love? The series of cheats. One... When someone nominates, I'll be banker, and you're like, yeah, you're clearly fucking paying yourself. You've got no fucking clue how much change you've got. And my son does this as well. He confuses the banker. Can you change the 50 for... Yeah, no, I'll give you 100. Can you just do 2 500s? And I can see him doing it. He's coming out with piles of money. I'm like, this is fucking good. Do you know what we did to try and stop the arguments? We've got a computer in the middle. It's a top hat, and it will keep all your money in it.
Oh.
So it knows what money, you can't fucking cheat.
Oh, so it's like, it's not, it's cashless monopoly.
It's cashless monopoly, and you don't get the cards for the, it knows which fucking properties you bought.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Jack, when we first moved in together, and we didn't have a TV for like the first 3 weeks, we just played Monopoly every, and we didn't move the board, so we
it stays, because it takes days, Monopoly.
It stayed on Aladdin's rug in the middle of the flat. And we'd go to bed, and then when we came back from work, we'd go straight back to play Monopoly. And it was like every night for until the TV came. Last Christmas, I bought my mum and dad a game. So they have like a pub in the house, and I bought them a game for in the pub. And it's called the Really Nasty Horse Racing Game.
Catchy.
I tell you now, it has been designed to cause arguments, and it's bloody brilliant.
What do you have to do?
So you have a track and you're a horse and you roll a dice and that's how much you move. And you're racing against each other, but you get opportunities to knock each other off the horse, do things, move each other out of the lane. And you bet on yourself or each other as well. So like, I might have 200 quid on the fact my mum's going to win. And I might be in the lead by a mile and my mum might be second. So I'm like, really, I need her to win.
Oh, so you start throwing it?
It's just a very good game.
I like anything that has an element of that in it.
But I will tell you what. So we played that on Christmas Day. I don't think we've played it since.
Arguments, I love it. Like when someone's playing charades and they go, film, and every time you just go, White Christmas. You don't, they haven't even started, and you just throw films out all the fucking time. I fucking love doing that. Just let me start, please. Okay, yeah, fine, fine. White Christmas. It's not fucking White Christmas. No words. Can't use your words. How many syllables? Oh, God, that's brilliant.
Shall we get into it and talk about Home Alone?
Yep.
Jack, your first ever solo synopsis.
Here we go. Here we fucking go. After slagging mine off.
Home Alone is the tale of a family that are going on holiday for Christmas holidays, and they're going to France. Starts in the McAllister household, family's running around like headless chickens. They're trying to get packed. They're trying to get ready because they're flying out to France the next day. They go to France and they leave their 8-year-old son home alone in the house. They get to France and they realise he's home alone. He then has to spend 3-4 days alone and he has to protect his house.
Is he alone?
He's in the home alone. And he has to protect his home with the two baddies, the Wet Bandits, which are Bill Pesci. Who the fuck is he?
Bill Pesci. And who's the other one?
Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern. They play the Wet Bandits, and they're trying to rob his house, and he's trying to stop them on his own.
You always say that Ben's synopses are too short. I think yours are too long. I think you just need to just find somewhere in the middle, a bit like mine, and you'll be fine.
I was trying to avoid saying Home Alone.
Well, you didn't.
I know, I didn't.
Boy Left Home Alone.
John Hughes classic.
We all watched this.
The full family.
All the family. And do you know what? My kids, and I didn't realise this, watch it religiously every year. They never told me.
Yeah, I think everybody does. Everybody does.
No, but not with me. Oh. They watch it. They go, no, I watched it. Like, literally, my son had watched it 2 days before, and he said, no, I'll sit with you and watch it. So we all sat and watched it. Mint.
Yeah.
Great family film.
Hanny's mum had not seen it.
Oh, what?
She's like, what's it about? And I told her, and she went, I'll give it a go.
There's a few of them, isn't there now? Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2. Is there a third?
In my eyes, there's only Home Alone 1 and 2.
Yeah.
That's the Macaulay Culkin. That's the Chris Columbus. Yeah. That's the John Hughes.
They've just remade the first one, haven't they?
I don't think it's a remake. I think it's just another one. It's another...
Oh, I see.
Another Home Alone, yeah. I think there's like 4 or 5.
I've only ever seen the first one.
The second one's good. People always say the second one's the best. It isn't.
My kid said that. My daughter said that.
It isn't in any way, shape or form the best.
Any way, shape or form, I like that.
Why?
Because everyone gets excited that it's in New York. That's it. That pigeon woman's in it way too fucking much.
I've worked with her.
Have you?
She's mint. Brenda Fricker. I've worked with her. She's fucking good. Yeah, the Pigeon Woman. Yeah, I like the Pigeon Woman.
Yeah, but she gets too much airtime.
Had she just won the Oscar? My Left Foot.
Well, she's playing Old Man Marley's part in the second one.
Yeah,
and in the first one, he's in it just enough not to take up too much screen time. Just enough.
Who's Old Man Marley?
He's the old guy in Home Alone 1.
Ah, yeah, the neighbour, yeah.
Yeah.
How would you feel about being home alone?
I have a story about being home alone. So...
Oh God, it looks sad.
It isn't. My mum and dad rarely left me and Hannah at home. Obviously, the story of how I got into acting was that I had to go somewhere after school because I wasn't allowed to go home after school until my parents got home. Like, I wasn't trusted. So, me and Hannah have been left home alone. Because it is my mum and dad's 25th wedding anniversary.
How old are you?
4 and 2.
Hannah's like 15, I'm like 30. No, Hannah will have been like 16, I'll have been like 13.
Okay, that's fine.
You've had a fight?
No, actually, it was probably this night that put the fight into an end. So, we're home alone, we're fine, we're loving it, parents are away. I go into the kitchen, and at the time... Between the kitchen and the lounge, we used to have glass doors, yeah? And I've gone to get a can of Coke out of the kitchen. And as I've come back, I've shut the door and I've gone to shut the door with my back. And I've fell through the glass door, smashed the glass door. And I'm going to send you a picture now because the glass door had a cutout of me. And the only thing, Jack, that saved my life... was the stair gate for the dogs. Because I landed on the stair gate and didn't...
Rather than going through the glass.
So didn't go through. But this has happened at like midnight. Mum and Dad are back in the morning. So me and Hannah are thinking, how can we replace this door? We've got to replace this door from a 18th century house. Like, how on earth are we going to do it? Like, it was stained glass.
Let's blow glass.
So we were trying for ages. We asked the neighbours if they knew where the previous owners got the doors from, blah de blah. And anyway, when they got back, we were dead honest, and we told them that we were going to replace the door, and we'd been searching. And Dad was like,
if you just shut it with your back, that's not
are you remembering that I used to be a much bigger boy, Ben?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like a bad thing. You've just shut the door with your back. It's not like you were fighting and got pushed through.
I suppose just at the time, though, you shit yourself and you think, my mum and dad are going to go fucking mental.
Let me find you the picture.
Jesus Christ. Nice sofa. Your face. Fucking hell, your face.
18th century,
like, get
fucking...
1970s. As if in the 18th century, the fucking glass like that. And doors. That fucking sofa's from the 18th century.
The sofa was awful. I'd like to point out the decor has changed slightly in the house now.
It looks like Bart Simpson's falling through the glass. Doesn't it? Doesn't it?
It fucking does. It looks like you've thrown Bart through your 18th century kitchen door. Have that, Bart, you fucking doing my tits in. I love the catcher over the top. The door isn't okay. Your face.
It was a bad moment. So that is kind of my story of being home alone. And I remember when Dad got home, he was like, thank fuck you didn't replace the doors. I've never liked them. He's like, gives an excuse to get rid of them.
I wonder if that's worth posting on the Sofa Cinema Club Instagram.
You can let everyone else slag off my parents' decor in 2010, seeing as you two have.
It's only because you said it was 18th century.
It was glass doors in an old house. But they're gone now.
That is funny. It's the Bart Simpson.
What about you? Have you got any Home Alone stories to top that?
We were left on our own all the time. I can't even remember a time when I had my parents there.
Never fell through a glass door.
We were all... Oh, it was a different time then. All the time you were left on your own. Good luck. Or left outside. Sometimes you've just left outside. I'm going out. You left outside. You tried to get back in the house and you couldn't.
Left outside. Back to Home Alone.
Back to Home Alone.
Macaulay Culkin. I can't say his name. I've never been able to say his name.
Macaulay.
Is this his first film?
No. He'd done Uncle Buck, which was John Hughes' film.
Ah, yeah.
And that's John Candy, and John Candy's in this film, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the musician.
So is John Candy in all of John Hughes's films?
Well, he's like his go-to, isn't he? Like what Scorsese was with De Niro and DiCaprio. And John Hughes did Uncle Buck, which Macaulay Culkin is in, and he got the idea while making that film that maybe I write a film about this kid.
Wow.
And he couldn't direct all of the films. I mean, he was writing that fucking fast. He couldn't do them all. So Chris Columbus was an up-and-coming director who John Hughes had seen and liked and sort of saw him as a bit of a prodigy and someone who was similar work ethics to John Hughes. And he gave the script to him and said, what do you think of this? He gave him both scripts, Home Alone and another one. And Chris Columbus said, I really like the Home Alone one. I think it's. I was laughing out loud while reading it. I think it's some of the best, one of the best comedies, family comedies I've read. So he was on board with doing it. Took it to Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers were on board with writing it. And they said, how much do you think this is going to cost, John? And he said, well, look, the star of the show is an 8-10-year-old boy. It's not Clint Eastwood. It's not Mel Gibson. And at the time, in the late 80s and 90s, it was like action films, wasn't it? Predator, all that. So those type of films, the reason why they were so expensive was because of the main star, like a Schwarzenegger. And it didn't have that. It had an 8-year-old kid as the star. So it was going to be relatively cheap. So he said about $10 million and we'll make this film possible. So Warner Brothers said, yeah, okay, we'll do it for $10 million. They got the cast. They offered it to Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci loved it and said, yeah, do it, which they couldn't believe.
Because he's a big, serious actor.
And not really done anything like that. He wasn't known for that.
Yeah, he'd done Raging Bull, obviously, with which we've covered on the podcast. And he would go on, obviously, I think the same year or the year after to do Goodfellas, which he won an Academy Award for. So he's a massive, massive star. And they got him. They got Joe Pesci. They cast Catherine O'Hara. I think it's Catherine O'Hara.
Is that the mum?
The mum. And Daniel Stern. They cast as Marv, obviously, who's the other wet bandit. And they set to go and start filming in Chicago with their cast. And while production's underway and everything, the budget starts to creep up. So it started out at like $10 million. And it starts just to go up a little bit as they're filming. So they had their sort of like production location in Chicago.
The house?
No, not the house. Like the main unit base where all the production is, you know, the art department, costume, makeup, all that. And they do build some interior sets of the house in there. Because the house is just for exterior. The one that you see, the Home Alone house that everybody's familiar with,
yeah,
that's just exterior. Interior scenes, they're all in a studio, in like a school. And it's the same school that they used for Ferris Bueller.
Wow, start.
The sets that they use in Home Alone for the house, they built in the same school that they used the set for Ferris Bueller and The Breakfast Club and all those other John Hughes films. So Warner Brothers say, how much is this film costing now? Because it's going up. And they say, it's about $15 million.
Easy on the Pepsi Fuller.
Exactly. Easy on the Pepsi Fuller. They say, well, if you just stick with us, we think we're all right. They went, give us a breakdown of everything. Now, this is the week before Christmas that they're filming. They give him the breakdown on a memo, like the next day, and say, $14.7 million. Will get us over the line. We've took his budget back as much as we can and we need that. They've already spent 13. So they're asking for an extra 1.7 million. And Warner Brothers say no. They close the film down. They send a memo back to Chris Columbus, John Hughes, and they say, tell everyone to go home. No film.
They've already spent 13 million.
Yeah, and they say, no, we're not doing it. So obviously they'll just get it all back or something, I don't know.
I think there used to be, I don't know whether there still is, but there used to be a difference in tax. So if you made it, but you didn't release it, they might be able to defer that money as tax efficiently. So maybe it wasn't tax efficient to finish it well over budget. So they've just gone, fine, we've lost that money.
So everybody lost their job just a week before Christmas. They're all in these production buildings and they're like, what the fuck? What's going on? John gets on the phone, John Hughes, to 20th Century Fox. Because we all know Home Alone did get made, yeah? We've all just bloody watched it. We all know it got made.
But is it not a Warner Brothers film?
It's 20th Century Fox.
Oh, so they sold it to them.
20th Century Fox say, well, what's the story, John? What's going on? So he tells them and says, look, it's a little boy. He's left alone. His family go away. They're trying to get back to rescue him. And he's in a house and there's robbers trying to get in. It's family fun. It's Christmas film. It's really funny. So they go, that sounds like a great story. How much do you need? And he says, well, we only need 1.7 mil to get over the line. They won't give us it. I mean, we've spent 13, blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, yeah, we'll give you the rest. We'll jump in the change. We'll do it. We'll make it. So as Warner Brothers is shutting down, the guy from Warner Brothers comes to the production office to tell everybody to down tools. As he goes in one office to close it down, as he leaves that office, the 20th Century Fox guy goes in behind him and rehires everyone as 20th Century Fox. And they are now making the film. As literally as he's going out. And by the time he got to the end of all the offices, he saw the guy from like 20th Century Fox and he's like, what are you doing? He went, get out now. You fired.
It's a bonanza. Woo, we're making it.
So who pays the 13 million?
I don't know the logistics, Coulson. But that's what
I don't ask. Don't dig too deep. It's not fucking Dragon's Den.
But so, and then the 20th Century Fox, have they made all the money that the film's ever made?
Oh, holy shit, handsome.
I'll tell you how much they've made. They've made close to $1 billion. So because Warner Brothers didn't put up an extra 1.3 million or whatever it was, 1.7.
Not a bad return.
They've lost out on $1 billion. Imagine that. Imagine being the dickhead who did that call.
I bet he's not got a job anymore.
1 billion. You'd be gutted, wouldn't you?
So Kevin's family are in Paris and they've left him behind. And before they've left him behind, he has said to his mum, I don't belong in this family. I wish I didn't have a family. I just want to be home alone forever. And then he gets his wish because they forget to take him on holiday. And when he's alone, he's revisited by someone we met earlier in the film, who we met as a police officer, who quite clearly isn't a police officer. And that is Joe Pesci. And he is playing, he's just a robber, isn't he? Like a no good sort of career criminal.
Mm.
Quite smart, really. Go round. What are you up to for Christmas? Just checking. We're going away. Perfect.
Yeah. Worked out that this street that obviously has quite a lot of money, a lot of them are going away for the holidays. So he know which houses they're going to hit, what the houses they're going to rob. And they pick the McAllisters as a potential target because the mum quite clearly has a lot of money. It's quite a grand house. There's money in there. Let's do it. And when they go around to rob, they kind of keep getting put off, don't they? Because they realise that someone's in the house. Now, they don't know that it's just little old Kevin on his own. You know, they think the family might not have gone away. And then when Kevin works out that he might be getting robbed, he starts to play a few mind tricks with him, doesn't he?
He starts to realise he's going to have to defend the house on his tod, isn't he? He's going to have to get together some of his best. He goes to the shop, doesn't he? He's very good, actually. He's fucking good on his own, isn't he? So he left some money, goes shopping, does his clothes, eats loads of chocolate shit.
Mm.
He has a great time. And then he thinks, I've got to defend the house. So he goes round and sets up all his fucking traps.
And what I love about this film is that it sort of, it touches every single sort of thing that a kid thinks as being a child. Like, yes, it'd be fun being left alone in the house. You can do what you want, stay up late, watch what you want, eat what you want. But then there's the element that someone's trying to get in. Burglars. I'm scared.
Your neighbour's a murderer.
Neighbour's the murderer. The boiler in the basement. That's scary. It's windy on a night. It's dark.
I loved it in the bed. Did you notice in the bed there was an armchair?
Yeah, like a pregnancy pillow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a pregnancy pillow, but it's a pillow in the shape of an armchair straight off. I'm like, that is fucking good.
That's why America have got it better than us.
Yeah, that's a bed, a seated bed.
He goes down the stairs on the sledge. That's fucking great as well.
That's the first thing he thinks of.
Yeah.
He does really well to defend his house, doesn't he? Because he kind of, he overhears the burglars saying, it's just the kid. There's no adults. He's been playing tricks on us. Let's come back at 9 p.m. and let's do the little bugger.
Yeah.
You know, he knows he's got until 9 p.m. to prepare the house, to set up his defences, basically to save his family from being burgled. So he takes it on him, doesn't he, to kind of prepare. There's that good scene at church just before where he kind of calls him on the way back from town.
It's sort of like an old style Western that the clock's going to get to 12 and he goes to church to say goodbye. It's like that feeling of, this is the last time I might be alive. I'm about to face the baddies. Here we fucking go. And he has a great scene with that old guy. I really like that scene.
Yeah, because in the script originally, there weren't enough of those heartfelt moments. It was just, bang, one trap to another, one gag, and there wasn't that sort of moment where you went, what is the real message of Christmas? Or anything lovey-dovey and anything Christmas like that. And Chris Columbus thought it just needs that. If it's going to tick the boxes of, you know, Christmas film and what you need those lovey-dovey moments. You do. And that was one that him and John Hughes sort of like argued back and forth with, but they sort of compromised and came up with that scene where it's him, Macaulay Culkin, and the old guy in the church. And you have to remember, Macaulay Culkin's 8 years old doing that scene.
I really liked that scene. And if it wasn't for that scene, you wouldn't have had that almost like last shot where he's looking out of the window and you see the old man meeting his son for Christmas. And that kind of, I was like, that's a powerful moment because, you know, that's not just about the McAllister house, is it? That's about a different family unit and kind of, it kind of hits the note of a happy ending even more.
Mm.
So 9 o'clock is here. The church bells are ringing. The microwave mac and cheese is on the plate. He's about to get burgled. It's showtime. But the defences that he's thought of, water on the steps because it's going to freeze into ice. Very good. Joe Pesci knows exactly the way he dealt with the steps, like comedy wise, is just, he knew what he was doing, didn't he? Like, very good.
Those steps that you talk about, Joe Pesci going up and Daniel Stern going down, I mean, they're stunt guys flinging themselves downstairs and flinging themselves up in the air. And they're real steps. I mean, there's no CGI. It's just them just hurling themselves in 10 foot in the air. And like on those micro machines, Chris Columbus just said, look, if it, as just make it look as painful as possible and it'll be funny.
Don't worry about the rest of your career, but this will be a banger.
You know when Macaulay Culkin's going up and he's in Buzz's room?
Yeah.
And he opens up the magazine, the picture frame, and he goes, Buzz, your girlfriend, woof.
Yeah.
You know, that was, it's actually a little boy, it's not a girl. Because Chris Columbus didn't want it to be an actual girl because she would be forever known as the ugly girl on Home Alone.
Wow.
So he made the art director get a photo of his son and dress him up like a really ugly girl. So it's actually a boy.
I loved the bit where he climbs the shelves in Buzz's room. That stunt I thought was just perfect, great, worked really well.
That was a small 30-year-old man.
Basic you then.
He was a small stuntman, obviously, for stunting the kids.
Do you think he's good as an 8-year-old then? Do you think he's amazing?
I don't know if he's amazing. He's certainly got something. You can't take your eyes off him when he is on the screen. He does say he's, but I don't think it's Oscar winning performances. He doesn't really get much into the emotion, but he knows the comedy and he knows what's going to get a laugh. I think it's that.
Yeah, I think he was good when he was on his own.
Yes.
I think when he was with other people, he didn't seem that good. And is that because he's playing against other people and adults?
But also, that's the charm of Home Alone.
Yeah.
It's his face. Oh! It's that. You only need that.
Or his hands when he runs up the stairs every time.
Yeah, you don't need... And actually, to be fair, he's very, very good in that scene in the church. And I think, you know, he's very, very good in that. And he plays a bit of pathos very well. But it's that face every time he fucking... Ah! He looks into the camera. He really does it really well. He's a kid on his own.
You know, that's that scene of him doing... He's doing, you know, he gets out of the shower and he's doing his hair and the famous Home Alone with the hands on the face.
Yeah.
What was written, as John Hughes had written, that he gets the aftershave and he slaps his face, he moves his hand, and then he screams after realising that it burns. What Macaulay Culkin's done on the take is he's left his hands there. He's not moved them. And he's screamed.
Yeah.
And that's become iconic, that. So because he's done that... I mean, that was the poster for the fucking film. That's on all the videos, that's on the T-shirts. You think of Home Alone, you think of that. And he's just done that in, like, one take, and he was meant to move his hands, and he hasn't for one take or one reason, or I don't know. But that's just become iconic. What I also really like about this film is how real and how... I do buy into everything that family left their kid. As awful as it is, and as unrealistic as everyone goes on and goes, but you're not going to leave your kid home alone. You're not going to do it. And the fact that she does it again in Home Alone 2, I can buy into it every single time. Because I think John Hughes, what he's done cleverly in the writing, is he's explained every single reason as to why they left them. And their reaction to leaving them, I think, is completely justified. I love the fact that the dad ain't got a clue. He's just happy to be getting out of the house and he's glad he's made the plane.
I like the way the fucking parents go first class.
Yeah, I love that. I love
that's
that.
That's fucking brilliant, isn't it? To not give a fuck. Will they be all right? Well, no, they fucking won't. It's got to be 10 hours, 12 hours.
I went on holiday with my mates. I think I'm safe. They won't be listening to the podcast. I went on holiday with my mates to Cancun and their parents flew first class and left us in economy. It was like, we would have been like 15.
My brother had seats and they weren't together. So there was three of them and he was on his own. He said, right, don't worry, I'll go on my own. You sit there with the kids. I'll go on my own. The three seats were, I think, in like premium economy or something. My brother's at the back. He's at the bogs. Right at the back with the food and the loo. Anyway, they check in. He goes to check in. They go, I'm really sorry, sir, but we've sold your seat. And he goes, oh, fuck. What, I can't get on the flight? They went, well, you can. But there's only one seat left. It's first class. And he's like, fucking bonanza. This is fucking great. So he goes on the plane. He turns right, waves them off to the economy. He turns right, loops the economy, goes back up into first. Yes. And goes, yes, I'm fucking in. Anyway, so he sat there. He's getting ready, whatever. Tap on the shoulder. It's his wife. What the fuck's going on? Oh, well, they sold my seat, so they put me in first class. And she went, oh, right, I'll sort this out.
We'll swap.
Yeah, she gets a guy next to them. She goes, look. And he goes, no, no one's going to swap.
Oh, so she gets the guy from economy and says, yes, you can go into first.
Are you joking?
You can be with us. No, so then they all could sit together.
Oh, that's bollocks.
Oh, I'd be fuming.
My fucking head fell off. I thought, that is brilliant. She went, no, don't worry. You could be in premium economy or whatever. Anyone's going to swap you. No, and he said, no, they won't. They won't. They'll think it's a scam.
As he's pressing recline with his glass of orange juice.
And as he's stuffing everything in, he's grabbing the pyjamas. He's watched all the films. It's the way he did a loop to pretend he was still in economy.
Oh, so he didn't tell them.
No. Oh. He did a loop, like, as if to go, yeah, bye. And then he did it. And of course she fucking saw him. Like, fuck me. That is that's fucking made me laugh. But I like the way, I think if I ever go anywhere now, that's going to be my way. I'm going to go first. And they can, well, I can't even afford first. I'll go front of economy.
Virgin upper. You could afford Virgin upper. When we do the Soap Cinema Club tour to Canada, we'll fly Virgin upper and we'll send Jack and Henry in economy.
Sat at the bar. So where are we now? We're nearly end, aren't we? Because she's been... What's running against the whole film is the mum trying to get back.
I was going to ask what your favourite stunt is out of all of them. I think iron through the laundry chute.
The iron's very good. Tarantula's very good. But Daniel Stern sells it with the scream, doesn't it?
Yeah. They're all very good. They're all, like Jack said, they're all believable.
Mm.
They're all household things. I might set it up now to see if I could repel some burglars.
The nail in the foot.
Toy soldiers.
That goes through me, that.
They've had a rum do by the end.
The gun pellet in the balls.
You'll be able to answer this, Jack. Does he actually zip wire out of the bedroom window into the treehouse?
It's the stunt. It's the kid.
The 8-year-old stunt kid.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not him. You can see it's not him. Wig.
Yeah.
He's going, argh.
I've got Macaulay Culkin as he looks in my head now. And whenever I see him as a kid, I just see him as he looks now, I think.
What, 40-year-old?
Yeah.
I have to say as well, you know how she's on the plane?
Yeah.
And she's going, we've forgotten something. And then she just goes, Kevin! I do that on flights. And it always gets a laugh. as we're halfway through the journey, whoever I'm sat with, I go, I feel like we've forgotten something. They're like, what? And I'm getting them to go for everything. And then I go, oh, no. And they go, is that it? And then I go, oh, no, that's not it. And then eventually I just shout, Kevin, at top of my voice. But anyone who's around me always gets a laugh. He's funny. It's funny.
He's funny. You watch. He's going to say Kevin. I wonder if they get that all the time. Every other flight. Oh, watch. Here we go. Someone's going to shout Kevin. There we go.
Right, let's take a quick break then. And we'll come back and we will rate the film.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's O-S-E-A Malibu.com code MOM.
Ratings. Starting off with you then, Jack. Your film. Your Christmas pick.
My Christmas pick. My favourite Christmas film of all time. Like Ben's kids, I watch it every year. I think you've got to watch it every year. Well, if you like it, you do. And I really like it. I believe in all of it. I really do. I think Joe Pesci, the actors, Macaulay Culkin, Daniel Stern, and John Williams, they tried. I didn't say this as well. They had some music composer who was on to do the music, and after it was all edited together, for one reason or another, he couldn't do the music anymore. It wasn't working, and he pulled out of the production. So they needed a composer. As a gag, they sent the rough edit to John Williams to see if he would be interested. At the time, he'd done Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., fucking Star Wars. He's Hollywood gold. They sent it him as a gag, and he said, yeah. I mean, they couldn't believe their luck, and he went, yeah, all right, I'll score it. And he's just come up with some of those iconic, classic Home Alone songs that we know. And, yeah, I think that was great that they got him. Daniel Stern, they had him on board, and they filmed with him for 6 weeks. And then they decided that they were going to need him for an extra 2 weeks filming or something. But they weren't going to pay him. And he said, what do you mean you need me for 2 weeks, but you're not going to pay me? And they went, we can't go up. We've already gone over budget. This is when Warner Brothers were involved, not 20th Century Fox. And he said, well, I'm not going to do it then, just out of principle. I can't work for free. I'm not going to do the film. So they said, all right. And he was gone from the production. And they rehired a different actor. And they started working with him and Joe Pesci. And it just was, the chemistry wasn't there between Joe Pesci and this other actor. And they went, we're going to need to get Daniel Stern back. Then the whole massive fuck up with Warner Brothers and 20th Century Fox. Then when 20th Century Fox came back on board, they went, who's this earlier actor that you've got, Daniel Stern? And they went, oh yeah, but we couldn't afford him. And they went, right, get him back. He's the guy we need. And luckily they did, because otherwise he would be forever known as not being in that film. And in fact he is, he's Marv, and they got him back and they paid him accordingly, what they should have done originally, and yeah, he's in the film.
Rating. How many fucking ratings?
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
This episode has been the Jack P. Shepherd fact show.
It's been my pick.
Rating.
If it wasn't that.
Rating.
Rating 10. As boring as it is, 10. It's a 10.
Coulson, go.
For me.
You're going to go shit, aren't you?
You can't go shit on Home Alone.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not going shit. Think about what to say, because I've not spoke all episode.
Oh, come on.
It's a very good Christmas film. It gets you in the spirit. I think what I noticed this time that I hadn't probably noticed before was the niceties of the old man, the neighbour. I didn't even acknowledge that as a part previously. Whereas I think on this rewatch, you kind of just see that relationship as something else, and that's really nice. Solid Christmas film.
Oh, you're going on nearly as long as him now.
Eight.
Right, fine. Great. God, 8, fine. Yeah, 10. I'm not talking about it.
Is it 10, Ben? Yeah.
10. I'm not going to talk about it. Let's move on. Jack's hidden gem.
What do you mean?
We've talked about it enough. It's 10.
28 out of 30.
Why? What do you mean? You're saying it like you're pissed off it's 10.
Because I don't think... You don't... I truly believe that film doesn't need to go... It's a 10. It's a perfect Christmas film. I've watched it with my family. It makes me fucking laugh. I love watching it every time. It's full of fucking Christmas. The performances are great. The script's great. The direction's great. What else you got there?
Yeah, but you sound like you're pissed off with a 10.
No, 10.
What do you want? Yeah, it's a fucking 10. What do you want from me?
I don't think it bears, like, fucking going... I don't think it needs...
I know what you mean. You don't need to go...
You know what I mean?
You don't need
it
to go...
It just works.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people at home, when they say Home Alone, what would you rate it? They'll just go, well, it is a 10, isn't it? It is. It just is. That's how people see it. And that's what Ben's saying.
I think once in a while, whatever genre it is, a horror, whatever, you get a film and you go, do you know what? I'd be right shit if I tried to pull holes in there. It's 10. You can watch it for years.
Yeah.
One last question then before we move on to Jackson and Gems. Can you watch this film when it's not Christmas?
I think so.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I like it at Christmas. But yeah, I could watch Die Hard at any time.
Jack's hidden gem
of the
week.
Right, hidden gem this week. I don't know if you two have seen this. I don't think you will have done, actually. But it's on Disney again. I mean, Disney are just absolutely out the park at the minute.
I'll tell you what, I can see that firm working.
I they're on to summer. If they play the cards right, Ben, I think they're on to summer. Summit big.
If they maybe got like a theme park, it could really work.
Sky's the limit. So Disney, Disney Plus, it's on there. Documentary. I think it's a three-parter. Big watch. Good few hours. I'm only halfway through the first ep. All right, so no spoilers. Right, no, hang on.
I've only watched 20 minutes.
Hang on, Ben.
I've watched the credits.
No.
Big watch.
No.
Three eps.
The first act's 2.5 hours long.
Ooh.
Right?
That's a hefty
But listen,
watch.
You don't know what it is. It's the Beatles documentary.
Ah, yeah. Brilliant. Amazing.
Right, so you can do this. You can pick 20 minutes there, 30 minutes there, whatever. Basically what it is, I think it's 1969, and they're recording a special TV show, right, for their fans. They haven't performed together for 2 years, since fucking up in America and saying they were bigger than Christ. And all of a sudden they were kicked out of America and they got sent home, and they haven't been in public since performing. They've had some downtime. They're coming back for this sort of like comeback show, TV show type thing. And they're undecided as to whether perform it to a television audience or what. None of them want to go abroad because they're in London and it's like 1st, 2nd of January. So it's right after Christmas. And they're coming up with ideas and they're in the studio. And the footage that they've got, it's all four of them in the studio. It's a television studio in London, Twickenham, I think it is. And you can sort of see the cracks in the band. And they've picked up all their audio from their mics, and it's them discussing songs, them discussing what they're going to do for the future, them saying what their ideas are for this show. And you see, as they're all having conversations, and if they're all having arguments, fucking Paul McCartney's in the background writing The Long and Winding Road, and like Get Back, and like all these classics, Beatles songs, you see them literally writing them and coming up with the material.
I've seen the Get Back.
They've got to come up with 14 brand new songs in 14 days and perform them and get them out.
So what do you think, as a whole watch, what, it's like 7 hour watch?
I'm not sure. I think it's three eps and the first one's 2.5 hours, but I don't know how long the other two eps are. But I'm nearly right at the end of the first one. And it's spectacular. And how they've remastered it, the cameras and the picture quality and the sound, it's unbelievable.
What's his face, didn't it? Lord of the Rings did it.
Peter Jackson.
Yeah, he did it.
It is really good. It's really good footage, and it's a proper fly on the wall. And it's stuff you've never seen before. Because it's them sort of like having a go at each other. And you think, oh, this is fucking interesting. I never knew this shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you see like Paul McCartney like literally writing the song and coming up with it and thinking, I'm not right, I'm not sure on that verse.
Yeah.
And it sounds fucking mint. And you're like, I can't believe he's literally just wrote Get Back.
Yeah.
And I've just witnessed him doing it.
Yeah.
Really, really good watch. So that's your gem this week. Boom!
That's the gem for this week. Next week, we are watching your choice of Christmas film. It's our last episode before Christmas. And as always, we put it out to you guys on Instagram to ask you what film you wanted us to watch for Christmas.
Oh, yes. A little bone to pick here with you, Coulson. We put it out to the audience, but you shoved your little 10p's in.
Didn't win, though, did it?
Polar Express. Yeah, but that's making the audience... Straight away, Polar Express, and then he had a little tussle with your mum.
Oh, did you have a little vote?
He went Polar Express straight off. He went top thing, top comment, Polar Express Coulson.
You're not a fucking viewer.
You're not a viewer.
Well, I am. I listen. Well, anyway, it didn't come out on the random generator, sadly for me. But the films that did come out were Family Stone, never heard of it, versus Jingle All The Way, also never heard of it.
Have you not?
And the other semi-final was Gremlins versus National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So from semi-final one, it was a landslide for Jingle All The Way. Smashed it. Smashed it. Semi-final number two, it was tight. Only 20 votes in it.
Ooh.
Gremlins versus National Lampoon's. National Lampoon's won.
It's a shit film.
So that means the final was Jingle All The Way versus National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And the film that we are watching next week for the last ever Christmas special of Sofa Cinema Club is Jingle All The Way.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Schwarzenegger.
Wow. Oh, is it? Wow.
Oosh.
So that's what we're watching. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can do on Twitter and Instagram at Sofa Cinema Club. Remember that we are on Patreon and YouTube. And next week, we are posting our first ever video onto YouTube. So to find out more, make sure you go over to there and subscribe and be ready to find out what we got up to. We will see you on Monday for Sofa Cinema Club Extraterrestrial and back here on Thursday for the last Sofa Cinema Club Christmas special where we are watching Jingle All The Way. See you next week. Good night. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.